Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
305 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is, don't you dare say it, it is Friday Eve is what it is, and it's nice. It's a little toasty. 95, we're going to have plenty of rain, apparently. Plenty of thunderstorms are going to be popping up, and we'll keep you apprised of all of that. We've got a lot we're going to deal with. My good friend, the smartest lawyer on God's green earth, Joe Moreno, former federal prosecutor, is going to be with us at 3:33. You know that whole special prosecutor, special counsel thing? This Jack Smith and these other lunatics, right? Remember the Supreme Court or some court? I don't know, it was some guy in a black robe, right? Somebody said, hey, the whole thing is unconstitutional. Now, that should just push all of this nonsense to the curb, right? And former President Trump can get back to the business of trying to make America great again, which is, I think, what we're all on board for. Well, Jack Smith apparently didn't get the memo or didn't read the verdict or doesn't know what the decision is because he has now refiled charges against former President Trump. Joe Moreno, again, former federal prosecutor, is going to join us at 3:33. He'll be able to actually unpack all of it and explain all of it to us. So I'm looking forward to chatting with Joe. Oh, and Abel Maldonado. Abel Maldonado is the former lieutenant governor of California. I know what you're thinking. No, conservative Republican, as a matter of fact. Pretty good guy. I don't know if he's the last elected Republican statewide, right? There was Schwarzenegger. I don't know. It's been a long time. And I don't know that we'll ever see a Republican in California again. It's bizarre, don't you think? Because we got this brand new Ronald Reagan movie that's out. Where does he make his bones? Why does he get involved? Because he's in California. But Abel Maldonado, the former LG out there in California, is going to join us because he's got a lot to say about our vice president, Kamala Harris. She's going to be on TV tonight. Now, she's not going to be live, right? They've already recorded whatever it is that they were supposed to record. The vice president and the guy who wants to be vice president and Dana Bash, who wants them both to fulfill their dreams and is going to do anything I would imagine possible to help with that. So we'll chat with Abel at 4:03. UVA has apparently woken up from its self-imposed coma or been forced to wake up because our governor, Glenn Youngkin, once again has provided some common sense conservative leadership and kind of swept the ridiculous people out of the way. It appears that now UVA will no longer be using the really bitter, angry, nasty students as guides. Why? Because they've been on a mission. You know this, and I know this. The student guides have been on a mission for, well, last couple of years. Certainly while Terry McAuliffe was in the governor's office, and definitely while Governor Goober was there. And their whole mission for students coming into UVA or thinking about UVA is, hey, this place is crap. It's awful here. Thomas Jefferson owned slaves. Right, we did know that. Well, he owned slaves. Mm-hmm. Did you know he owned slaves? We did, yes. Mr. Jefferson owned slaves. Well, that's one of the reasons you shouldn't come here. Really? Is Mr. Jefferson on staff these days? Is he teaching any classes? Is he in the administration? No? Okay, then I don't think we should be scratching UVA off the list yet. But wait, there's more. They'll then tell you about all of the other things that they hate. All through this ridiculous, obscene, really, left-wing prism. So the UVA administration now says, we're going to go elsewhere. The University Guide System, UGS, is not going to be utilized anymore. That's good. You know, Harry was thinking about UVA. Harry, I think, would have done well at UVA. But he, believe it or not, when we went out to Charlottesville, he just didn't even like the looks of it. And I don't know exactly what it was that rubbed him the wrong way, but we did the drive. We went out to Charlottesville. We didn't even get out of the car. And he's like, "Yeah, I don't think so." "Well, don't you see the campus? The campus is supposed to be beautiful." "Nah, it just doesn't seem like it's going to be my place." "Okay." So he went west, as you know. He went out to Stanford and has graduated now and working out there. And I think, I'm not entirely sure, but I think my eldest, my firstborn son, Comrade Katz, I think he's beginning to wake up to what happens when you provide all this free stuff to all these people. And he's none too happy about it because he's not any of these people who are getting any of that free stuff. He's finding that his salary, which he thought was amazing. Now, remember, it's calibrated in California dollars. They ought to have their own currency, for goodness sakes, because you want to talk about hyperinflation. So he's got this salary, and he's saying, "Wow, this is great, my first job out of school." And then he realizes how much it costs to live there. His rent for a one-bedroom apartment, and it is just that, has a living room, has a kitchen, bathroom, and a bedroom. No washer or dryer. No real outdoor space. I think it's a third floor walk up. I'm not entirely sure. His rent is about the same as my mortgage here in beautiful Hanover County. And I think he's really seeing up close and personal. You know, it's not just his dad prattling. "Oh, my dad is such, yeah, my dad is a conservative. He talks to her. Blah, 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 blah." Okay, I got it. Well, your dad paid all the bills, didn't he? Yeah. But he didn't believe anything I had to say because I said it. Some kids, that's just the way it is. Although I do notice my friends who have sons and daughters, now that I think about it, about Harry's age, they all turned out okay, those kids. I'm the only one who raised a kid who's ready to lead the revolution, you know? Yeah. I do try and make it clear to him that it's not just the high cost of living out there. It's not just the fact that you can't really own a car, and if you do, well, gasoline is $6, $7, $8 a gallon, and then if you go and sell one of your kidneys and buy an electric vehicle, it doesn't do you any good because you can't attach it to a power station because it keeps crashing the grid. I can't tell him all of that. I mean, I have. It doesn't seem to register as well as I had hoped. What I hope he understands, and this may sound a little bit over the top, but what I hope he understands is this is not one of those old-fashioned, "Well, I think this side has a slightly better idea. Well, I think this side has a slightly better idea." This is about putting him and his brother and his generation on the road to serfdom that Hayek talked about. Because that's where it's headed. It's exactly where it's headed. I don't know if he gets that. I really don't. I'll keep you up to speed. But in the meantime, at least he's angry about how expensive this stuff is. So I'm thinking that is a good place to start. Oh, I got to tell you that there's a big kerfuffle right now. It's going to sound weird. Did the vice president work at McDonald's or not? Mm-hmm. This is going to be now one of the bigger issues. And you and I, believe it or not, have to pay attention to it. I'll give you the details in just a couple of moments. We got a great, great program in store for you. Again, the smartest lawyer on God's green earth, Joe Moreno, former federal prosecutor. He's going to be here at 3:33, and we will talk about these latest charges filed against President Trump. Do they have any standing? Is there any validity? Should President Trump be paying attention? Should I be paying attention to him? Joe will explain that. And at 4:03, Abel Maldonado, the former lieutenant governor of California, who can really share some insight into our vice president, Kamala Harris, Who is she? What has she really done? What is she all about? And if we cut to the chase, why? You and I have got to make sure we vote in exactly the right way so that she does not wind up as the accidental president. It is 3:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 3:20, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Friday Eve. I refuse to use that other word. I don't know. Friday Eve just sounds good. And for a lot of us, this is going to be a nice extended week. And I can tell already, a lot of folks have said, well, we're off on Monday. We could let's throw Friday in there. I am going to give you the heads up. Just a quick reminder, because sometimes people get very, very, very weirded out. And I appreciate that. But I, like just about everybody else, going to be off on Monday. But I'm also going to be out of town off Tuesday and Wednesday. So just a heads up. I'll be back, you know, God willing, on Thursday. Yes, there we go. Former President Trump showed up at Arlington National Cemetery. Thank God he did. We had the 13 American heroes slaughtered in Afghanistan 3 years ago. Anybody want to take a guess why? Right. Now, you would think, even for someone who has completely and totally checked out, like Joe Biden has, couldn't they have imposed on him to put on a shirt and a tie? Oh, heck, yeah, you know, don't even do that. Wear khakis and a polo. I don't care. Wear flip-flops in your bathing suit, but have the decency to show up and salute those heroes. Nope. Biden can't be bothered showing up to Arlington. Okay, how about our not-ready-for-primetime vice president? Couldn't she have showed up? I mean, she keeps saying that she was the last person involved in making the plans for withdrawing from Afghanistan, which, if I do my math correctly, would mean she's really responsible for the deaths of those 13 heroes. Couldn't she have shown up? Shouldn't she have shown up? Well, she didn't. Former President Trump showed up because he's a decent guy. And, of course, now he's being attacked for it. Let me give you, cut number one, please.
Arlington National Cemetery is the most hallowed burial ground for our nation's fallen, a place where 400,000 veterans and their families are laid to rest. And politics is banned there. But now there's a political clash after a visit from former President Donald Trump with cameras, marking 3 years since a deadly suicide bombing in Afghanistan.
Oh, see, he's the bad guy. Because he went to Arlington, he's the bad guy. They're all what? They're all worked up because there were cameras? I got news for you. Everywhere that Donald Trump goes, there are cameras. And unless I missed something, being inside of a national cemetery, people take photos and videos all the time. It happens all the time. Is there a rule against it? Not that I'm aware of. It doesn't mean there's not, but not that I'm aware of. If it is okay for somebody who is visiting one of their loved ones or visiting 13 headstones of people they never met, but they're appreciative to them, and they say, you know, I want to take a photo. It's a little weird, I think, if you are of a certain age. That is, if you predate the modern-day cell phone. When I took my boys to the South Florida National Veterans Cemetery a number of years ago, they were little guys, because we were going to visit my dad. They said, well, we should get a picture. And my first response was, well, that's kind of weird. I don't think we take pictures at cemeteries. But for them, it's just part of chronicling where they were, what they were doing. And I would dare say that it has become the norm rather than the exception. But it is simply because President Trump went there. You'll notice what's missing in that so-called news report. Not a single mention that the sitting president of the United States couldn't be bothered to go over there. Not a single mention that the sitting vice president of the United States couldn't be bothered to go over there. Heck, the guy who wants to be the vice president, who has lied, I think is the technical term, about his military background. Shouldn't he have gone? The fictional command sergeant major? Tim Walz should have gone, right? Even if Kamala Harris were to say, look, in my long history of having granular life experiences, I never actually was in the military, so this doesn't really mean all that much to me. At least she would have been honest, or something close to honest. But Tim Walz, who spent 24 years and some months in the service of the Minnesota National Guard, you would think he would go. Remember he got caught for the website posts and even saying that he had served 25 years. It's 24 years and some months. And because I am such a gracious person and actually a real human being, I thought, you know what? I'm giving him that one. No, that look, it's a rounding error. Shouldn't have happened. Sorry to see that it happened, but I'm going to give him that one. But this whole thing about retiring as a command sergeant major, when you didn't retire as a command sergeant major, that I got a lot of problems with. The other thing, I came across this yesterday. For years, apparently, he was telling people he won some big award from the Nebraska Chamber of Commerce, which I guess is good. But it went unnoticed for a while because, well, who pays attention to somebody talking about the Nebraska Chamber of Commerce? No offense to the members of the Nebraska Chamber of Commerce. But when they found out that he was telling people that and was on his website, they apparently sent him an official cease and desist. Dear Command Sergeant Major Walz, you never won this award from us. Please stop claiming that you did. All right, former federal prosecutor Joe Moreno joins us at 3:33. Is there anything to the new charges against former President Trump? It is 3:27, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 3:33, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve, and I don't know if the showers and the thunderstorms are going to be here the next hour or 2 hours, but they're coming. It's as simple as that. We are pretty toasty at the moment, 96, 97. So they are in the offing and cool things off just a little bit. Half hour from now, Abel Maldonado. I knew Abel when he was a state senator out in California. He wound up as the lieutenant governor of California. And before you go and say I'm consorting with the enemy, Abel, actually a pretty conservative Republican, really inspirational life story. He'll be with us in a half an hour because if anybody knows what our vice president did when she was in California, it's Abel. And I'm really, really, really looking forward to chatting with him. And we'll get a sneak peek into the guy who wants to replace her, that Tim Walz, another old buddy of mine, Jason Lewis out of Minnesota, was running for Senate when Walz was the governor. And suffice to say, he's got one or two rather interesting pieces of information. Jack Smith is special counsel, special prosecutor, and he's just leveled some new charges against former President Trump.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
But I thought the Supreme Court had already said this whole special prosecutor thing was not constitutional. I don't know. I may be getting my wires crossed. So Joe Moreno, former federal prosecutor, absolutely the smartest lawyer on God's green earth, is joining us to explain it all to us. Counselor, good afternoon.
Jeff, I don't know about you and your listeners, but gosh, I am tired about hearing and talking about Jack Smith. I mean, this thing, it's never going to end, it seems like.
But didn't we talk a couple of weeks ago and the Supreme Court had said, yep, this thing, it doesn't fly, it's not constitutional, and that's why these charges in Florida went away? Or do I misremember, as they say?
No, there's a lot going on here. And so the only thing that doesn't change is that Jack Smith is determined to keep going and going and going. Okay. So what happened at the Supreme Court settled two things. One has to do with presidential immunity, right? And the fact that not only can official acts of a president not be prosecuted, they also cannot be introduced as evidence in any kind of matter. So yet there's that. Then the Supreme Court, in another case, just a week prior, talked about how the obstruction of Congress charges that Jack Smith has brought only apply to evidentiary alterations, basically destroying evidence before Congress. So you have those two big problems there, right? Then separately in Florida, you have Judge Cannon's decision that Jack Smith was not properly appointed in his role as a quote-unquote special counsel, and she dismissed the case. The problem with that third piece is that Judge Cannon resides in the 11th Circuit. The case here in Washington, D.C., where I'm sitting with Judge Chutkin, is in the D.C. Circuit. And so, therefore, Judge Chutkin is not bound by what Judge Cannon did in Florida. So she will no doubt will charge forward. And then ultimately, the question of whether or not Jack Smith is properly appointed, that itself will likely go to the Supreme Court. And so we'll kind of go at this all over again. So lots going on, lots to follow. But again, the one consistent force here is Jack Smith is determined to keep pursuing this case. And unfortunately, I think if there were any thoughts that maybe, God forbid, Kamala Harris wins the presidency, maybe she would stop this. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're determined to keep going.
This then, Joe, I'm going to go out on a limb here, but this then is obviously a political prosecution, right? I mean, for the three people left in America who didn't think that, this should be the evidence. In the one circuit, the judge says, yes, obviously this has got to go away. What did Jack Smith do, though? I heard that did he slim down or refocus these charges?
Kind of, but not nearly as much as most of us thought he should. So back to the immunity issue and the obstruction of Congress issue, that really should have gutted this case. That really should have made him take a step back and say, you know what, I never did have the evidence to charge insurrection, even though they love using that term, but that was never charged here against Donald Trump or anyone else. And then he could have said, all right, look, I don't have that. Yeah. Now I've got some serious problems from the Supreme Court with the charges I have brought. Maybe I should just take a step back, let this one go, focus on some other stuff.
Yeah.
But that is not what's happened. And honestly, his changes, I don't think, are really going to fly. He basically, he kind of took out the word president in a lot and talked about Donald Trump more as a candidate. Uh-huh. And he kind of tweaked the obstruction charges to, I guess, make them a little more palatable. Hmm. The problem for him is that the immunity issue is appealable before a trial can start. So now what's going to have to happen is Judge Chutkin's going to have to look at the new indictment.
Right.
She will have to figure out whether or not presidential immunity is triggered here. Okay. She'll make her rulings about whether the case can go forward or not, but either side can appeal it, which will once again halt the case in its tracks. Oh. It'll go to the D.C. Circuit, and then most likely it'll go to the Supreme Court. So nothing's going to happen anytime soon. And again, a lot of this could be really just kind of put behind us by taking a step back and saying, look, Congress looked at this.
Yep.
They spent a year on it. Jack Smith has now spent 3 years on it. He has been through Supreme Court slapping him down. He's been through district court in Florida slapping him down. He's not even a legitimate prosecutor.
Yeah.
The fact that they just insist on keep doing this, I don't know, at some point you're putting the country through an awful lot, and I don't know what the heck this is really for.
Here's a silly question, Joe. How much does all of this cost?
Not silly for those of us who actually care about the country's finances.
Yeah.
Tens of millions of dollars. Tens of millions of dollars. Dozens of prosecutors and FBI agents and other investigators spending all their time on these cases.
Wow.
Look, again, if the election goes one way, I unfortunately expect this to keep going. If it goes the other way that I think many of us are hoping for, gosh, shutting this down should be the first thing President Trump does on Inauguration Day.
And President Trump, if he is elected, would be able to just go in there and send an email or a text to Jack Smith saying, hey, you're fired, get your stuff and leave the keys at the door.
Yes. Okay. Yes. I mean, some people kind of waffle about that. But the fact is,
he's not
the Constitution is very clear. Yeah, no. I mean,
there's no waffling there.
Some lawyers on the left will argue, well, once a case is initiated, it's a conflict of interest, the president can't change it. No, that's nonsense. All the power of every federal prosecutor derives from the president. The president is the single number one decider on all things related to the Justice Department. Okay. The attorney general works for the president. So if the president tells his next attorney general, shut those cases down, they get shut down, and that's the end of them.
Wow. All right. Joe Moreno is joining us. Joe has so many varied and sundry accomplishments, so many things on that CV. I nail it down to this. He's the smartest lawyer on God's green earth, and he's a former federal prosecutor. What about the sentencing, Joe? We had talked about this last time you were with us a couple of weeks back, the situation in New York, because they are, the judge up there is at some point, and I think it's soon, right, going to sentence President Trump?
Well, so now the same immunity case from the Supreme Court that impacts Jack Smith's case here in Washington also affects Alvin Bragg's case in New York City, even though that's a state case, right? Same principles apply here. So what happens now is that the Supreme Court has said to Judge Merchan, basically, you have to scrub through that case and determine if any evidence that was subject to immunity should not have been introduced, and therefore, if there's effectively a mistrial, if the conviction has to be tossed out, and then Alvin Bragg can decide whether or not to retry the case again. So what Judge Merchan has done is he scheduled his decision on that point for September 16th, 2 days before the sentencing has been scheduled, which left many of us to believe that he probably was going to rule against Donald Trump and then not give him a lot of time to appeal it, because 48 hours would be the sentencing hearing. What's changed in the last 2 weeks, though, thankfully, is that now, obviously, the Trump team has said any sentencing should get pushed off until this is properly vetted. Mm-hmm. Alvin Bragg, the prosecutor, has actually agreed with that. So even he has now written to Judge Merchan and said, yeah, I think the sentencing should get put off till at least after the election, until we work out the details of this immunity. So ultimately, the judge still has not decided, but I'd be pretty surprised if he ignored both the defense and the prosecution and insisted on September 18th as a sentencing date. So I think we will once again avert what could be a very, very tumultuous and really, conflict-prone day by saying, you know what, this is just, again, not worth it. We got to put this kind of thing off. It's just not consistent with our basic principles of law here.
Okay, now, that is, boy, I hate to use this phrase in conjunction with Alvin Bragg, but that's good news that he said it should be put off, right?
I think it was begrudging because he knows that even if Merchan sentenced Trump, it would be immediately appealed and probably stayed. The Supreme Court may have even stepped in and stopped it. So it's probably his way to save face and kind of buy himself some time. I don't think it was magnanimous. But, yes, it is a good sign that hopefully that will not happen on September 18th.
All right, let me give you this set of facts as a pattern there, Counselor. Let's say that President Trump wins. The federal charges get kicked to the curb as soon as he gets in there. But what about those state charges? Is that something that will stick around for a bit?
Well, that's a great scenario. So let's assume, Donald Trump wins the presidency. Let's assume that Judge Merchan rejects the idea that immunity should result in a mistrial and goes ahead and sentences Donald Trump sometime in the next 6 months, right? Either before or after he's sworn in January. Now, what happens? So I think what would happen was you look to the Constitution and the Supremacy Clause, which says that basically state functionality has to cede ground to the federal government.
Okay.
So Donald Trump would say, look, I am now the president. I am the chief executive of the country. I cannot have some state lawsuit or prosecution impede my ability to do the job of commander in chief.
Right.
So he would basically get anything stayed until at least four years until he's out of office. So obviously, if it's a fine, if it's some kind of slap on the wrist, then sure, it'll happen. If it's a jail sentence, God forbid, that would all get kind of stayed for years. And hopefully it never happened.
It absolutely blows my mind that this stuff is still out there and it is still going around. And We've got all of these other things that we're now going to have to analyze and see which way it goes. What about the leftist commentators, Joe? Because I tune in. I feel I have an obligation to my listeners. So I watch MSNBC so that they don't have to. You know, it's like a little favor I do for them. But I see these leftist folks saying, well, you know, this out of control Republican Supreme Court now said that any president can kill anybody they want right there in the Oval Office. And I thought, I don't remember that in the decision, but again, would that give cover to somebody in the Oval Office to kill someone?
No, no. It's not the president's job to kill someone,
right?
So if he's acting outside his job and he's not acting in his official capacity and he's committing a crime, that he's certainly able to be prosecuted for.
Okay.
But that kind of hysteria, what they're doing is that attack on the Supreme Court, which really is odious. I mean, the fact that they are attacking our political branch that cannot defend itself.
Yep.
And I think what they're building toward here is trying to generate anger toward the court so that if they come into power, that'll give them an excuse to either pack the Supreme Court or modify it, limit its jurisdiction in ways that really can kind of cripple it.
Yeah.
So I think it's dangerous talk. I think it's really upsetting. And anyone who looks at this, you might not like some of these decisions the Supreme Court has made in the last few years.
Right.
But no one can say they are not well-reasoned. They are not well-documented. I would encourage, some of these are pretty long, but I would encourage anybody who's interested in this immunity case, which is U.S. v. Trump, in the obstruction of Congress case, which is the Fisher case, even the Dobbs decision, which revoked, overturned Roe v. Wade. These are all really well-reasoned decisions. As is Judge Cannon's decision from a few months ago to dismiss the case because of Jack Smith's improper appointment. So, again, you could disagree with some of these cases, but no honest analyst can say that the court is cutting corners or is not thinking these things through and just kind of, taking a stab in the dark. But, it's dangerous talk that the left is really putting forth and, again, against a branch that cannot get on television and defend itself.
I wish they could, by the way. I would give anything. I would give all the money in your pocket, Joe, to see Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas says to get on there and say, let me tell you something, and then explain the way of life to them. Hey, before I have to move on here, Joe, what about that Chevron case? That's a good one, right? That we don't now allow these bureaucrats to simply make stuff up.
Exactly. So the Chevron doctrine from the 1980s. Was a prior decision by the court, which said basically the administrative agencies within the executive branch get the final say on how they interpret the law, not the courts. And so what happens is Congress has gotten into this really bad habit of drafting laws very clumsily, very broadly, leaving all the details to the executive agencies. And so what happens is when you couple it with the Chevron doctrine, these agencies get tremendous discretion on how to carry out these laws, and the doctrine said the courts cannot second guess them. So this is a victory. This is saying the Chevron doctrine is gone.
Right.
All of these decisions are reviewable by the courts. This hopefully will inject some common sense. One, to kind of stop these out of control agencies, and two, to hopefully incentivize Congress to get a little more careful, a little more detail-oriented on how they draft their laws and not just allow the deep state to kind of run with things.
I love it. I love it. Joe, I am out of time, but I am so grateful to you for always making time for us. Please remind everybody where they can follow you on social media and where they can read you online.
Sure. Joseph Moreno on X, josephmoreno.com. Please get out there and vote this year. I mean, we say it's important every year, but man, it's really important this year. So please, if you are on the fence, if you are not sure, if you have family members, neighbors, get them to vote. It's an important one. And Jeff, I think you deserve a Purple Heart for watching MSNBC for the rest of us, so we don't have to. But God bless you, sir.
I'm going to take a field promotion out of petty cash for myself, counselor, and I always appreciate you being here. Thank you. That is Joe Moreno. Joe is, without question, a brilliant, brilliant attorney. And the fact that he makes time for us to break it all down into nice bite-sized pieces that even I can swallow, even I can understand, man, we are fortunate in that regard. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 3:55, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Friday Eve. We got rain rolling in any second now, and we're going to have thunderstorms, we're going to have lightning, we've got the whole McGilla coming. And I guess that's going to be with us pretty much through the overnights. Coming up at 4:03, right after the news, Abel Maldonado, who is a gentleman that I knew fairly well many, many years ago when I was in California. He was Lieutenant Governor of California. Really neat guy, conservative Republican, elected statewide. I don't think we'll ever see that in California again, but he's going to be here. He's got some really good information on who the vice president really is, Kamala Harris, what we should expect tonight as we get a chance to see what she already taped, this so-called one-on-one-on-one interview. It is 3:56, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.